This is the Big East Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, here we go. Saturday mornings can only mean one thing. It is time for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show, exclusively on Sports Map Radio Network. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. Right off the top, we love to connect with our audience, always live on Twitter here in Houston at E-Radio Sports. Info at eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. We are super excited. Countdown is on for Super Bowl 55. We're going to get you ready with another amazing lineup over the next 2 hours. 10-year NFL defensive lineman LeJay Duzabel is going to be joining us. Also, football historian, Patriots writer Sean Glennon will be breaking it all down and helping us out. We're also going to take time for some NBA news and notes. You bet, the Utah Jazz play-by-play announcer Craig Bowler Jack will be with us. And as always in studio, we love him. That is Jack McCraw, my producer. Follow him on Twitter at the Jack McCraw. Hello, Jack.
What's up, E? How are you today?
Okay, we are Cowboy fans, but we got to take care of all of the Texan fans down here. What in the world is going on with Deshaun Watson? Where do you think he's going to end up? He demanded a trade.
It is a crazy whirlwind of emotions going on in Houston right now with the announcement of the new head coach and Deshaun Watson saying he wants out. To me, I think that trade is going to happen, and I think he's going to go to the Miami Dolphins. I think the Dolphins, because the Dolphins have the most draft picks that they could give away. The Texans could theoretically get Tua Tagovailoa and the number 3 pick in this year's draft and 2 future first-round picks, and the Dolphins are a 10-6 team, and if they add Deshaun Watson, that 10-6 team could potentially be a 12-4 team.
You know, when we think about the Texans, I mean, they obviously have struggled mightily over the past few years. Why did this not work out? I mean, Deshaun, come on, we got to give him credit. He's a very talented quarterback.
One answer, E, Bill O'Brien. Once Cal McNair took over the team, he pretty much let Bill O'Brien run the organization to the ground, trading Jadeveon Clowney for less than market value, trading DeAndre Hopkins for nothing, getting back David Johnson, who had a very bad season this year, and just all these other players that just no longer wanted to work with Bill O'Brien. When J.J. Watt questions your leadership, You know you have a problem. And of course, Cal McNair finally did fire Bill O'Brien, but it was too little too late. And now Cal McNair is trying to salvage this team, and it doesn't look like it's salvageable.
Okay, so we hit on the Texans coming up here in hour one. We're going to get you ready for Super Bowl 55. Coming up, 10-year defensive lineman. We love him. That is LeJay Duzabel. Coming up next on Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. Thank you so much for connecting with us and joining us on this Saturday morning. Many different ways to join us, and that is always, we're live on Twitter at eRadio Sports Info. At eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. Today's segment being powered by our good friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. You can check them out online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Well, the NFL, it is headed to Tampa, Florida and Raymond James Stadium for the Super Bowl 55. So many fascinating storylines. And here to help us break it all down from the Washington Post is Cindy Boren. First time on the program. Good morning, Cindy.
Great to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. Well, let's dive right in. It only took 55 years, but the Buccaneers will become the first team to play for the Super Bowl on its own home turf and will provide a classic quarterback matchup. So what are you looking forward to the most?
Well, we saw this earlier in the season. We saw the two teams play, and it was a three-point game. Tom Brady seems to be involved in close Super Bowls. Most of the time he wins. Sometimes he doesn't. I'm kind of looking for a shootout. I think Tom is going to crank it up and just unleash a bunch of long passes. I think that's their game plan. And if he gets intercepted 5 times and they win, I think he's fine with that. That's kind of the Buccaneers mantra, you know, no risk it, no biscuit. And he seems to prefer, especially late on a third down, cranking it up. You know, it's better than a punt. Even an interception deep is the same effect as a punt. So he kind of, you know, doesn't really pay too much attention to his stats in that regard. And the last time he and Patrick Mahomes faced one another, The two of them accounted for almost 1,000 yards passing. But Brady had two interceptions. They both had three touchdowns. Mahomes didn't have any interceptions. So I think it's going to be a replay of that game.
Hey, Washington Post, Cindy Boren is with us this morning at SportsMap Radio Network. You bet we're getting you ready for Super Bowl 55. It is a superstar showdown. You talk about Tom Brady embracing those big moments. He loves pressure. He thrives in those situations. But which quarterback do you trust more, Tom Brady or the young Patrick Mahomes?
Probably Patrick Mahomes, and I know that's counter to the results because Brady's got all those rings. But I just think he has so many more options. He can run with the ball. He can innovate. We saw him last Sunday, do the little underhanded shovel pass to Travis Kelce at the line. There are just so many weird, wacky things that Andy Reid has in his playbook, and Mahomes can execute him. You know, he's the perfect guy for Andy Reid's, mad scientist coaching style.
So when we think back to last week, I mean, are you surprised the Chiefs handled the Bills so easily to advance to the Super Bowl?
I thought it would be closer than it was. I know that home field doesn't really mean much at a time of coronavirus, but Arrowhead is a difficult place to play. I think maybe the Bills had a little bit of the old deer in the headlights attitude toward it. I think they were a little surprised, a little unprepared. I mean, until you've been there, you just don't know. They'll be better next year. And the Chiefs, Andy Reid gets to the Super Bowl. It's what he does. He gets to championship games, so I wasn't terribly surprised by that.
You know, so much of the conversation is focused around Tom Brady, the longevity, the legacy of his illustrious career. But when we step back, you were talking about how you trust Patrick Mahomes more as a quarterback. But just overall, I mean, what have the Chiefs shown us? I mean, are they ready to beat Tampa Bay for, back-to-back titles?
I think they are. I also am fascinated by the fact that had they won in overtime against the Patriots and Tom Brady the year before, they could be going to their third in a row. You will recall that Patrick Mahomes, because it was overtime, the Patriots went out and scored first time. Mahomes didn't even get a chance to try to score. Tyreek Hill is so fast. They have so many good receivers. And Mahomes is just such a magician out there, even though he's had the turf toe, he still has it.
Yeah.
And he's had the concussion, or whatever the Chiefs want to call that. We'll call it a concussion. But he'll be fine. I just think probably offensively they have so many weapons that I just think that they're probably a little better. And we've seen Brady come up short sometimes in Super Bowls. You will recall three times he's come up short. Sure, he's won six of them and come up pretty big in those. But he might be due.
Cindy, tell me about what do you think about the Super Bowl being held in Tampa Bay next weekend? There's been a lot of chatter about, does this give the Buccaneers a home field advantage? I mean, there will be fans there, but it's not going to be a rockin' stadium.
It won't be. There'll be about 22,000 fans there, 7,500 of whom will be first responders, and that the NFL has invited medical personnel. I think there will be an advantage, although I'm also curious to see how it will work. Because I know that they'll check into the Buccaneers will check into a hotel at some point, but there are a lot of distractions when you're at home. One thing about the Super Bowl is when it's in a neutral site, mm-hmm. All those distractions are away. All you have to deal with is tickets. I know there are problems like that, but you can have your agent take care of that. Your family isn't necessarily around you all the time. And I think it could be a little bit of a problem for them, a little bit of a distraction for them to be home.
Hey, we're winding down our time. Washington Post, give them a follow at Washington Post. Cindy Boren is our very special guest. Some great posts on her Twitter feed. Connect with our audience. Cindy, where can they find you on Twitter?
At Cindy Boren, B-O-R-E-N.
Okay, very good. Give me a quick hit as we wrap up our interview. The Washington football team, how would you summarize how this season played out?
I think everyone was thrilled with the defense. The defensive line looks great. They have a superstar in Chase Young. The offense is a work in progress. Will Alex Smith come back? people are sort of mixed about that. Nobody wants to see him get hurt any worse than he was. So there are a number of problems that they have on offense, and they could use a quarterback. Fortunately, there are a number of good quarterbacks, including Deshaun Watson, who might be available. So that's what I'm paying attention to.
Cindy, we're here in Houston, and it's been a little bit crazy down here this week. Hey, from the Washington Post, Cindy Boren has been our very special guest, SportsMap Radio Network. Listen, Cindy, you stay safe. We look forward to having you back, and we'll extend this conversation, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Tenure NFL defensive lineman Lajay Douzable. He is back. Come on back. SportsMap Radio Network.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour one, SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Love to connect with our audience. Always live on Twitter, at eRadio Sports. Info at eRadioSports.com and PodcastArena.com. Hey, don't let a bad battery leave you stranded. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery free of charge. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery for your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your vehicle on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Well, as promised, we're going to continue our Super Bowl 55 preview, everything you need to know. Up next is the voice of reason. You bet, 10 years in the NFL as a defensive lineman. We love when he's on our network, and that is the great Lajay Douzable. Good morning, Lajay.
Good morning, Alyssa. How are you doing?
Hey, it's so good to hear your voice. Happy New Year. And it is the 55th annual showdown between the best of the best in the NFL. The Chiefs will be making their fourth ever Super Bowl appearance, and the Bucks will be it's their second in franchise history and their first in 18 years. So break it all down. I mean, what are your expectations?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of expectations that come with this game, right? On the line, you have the Chiefs who could potentially, you know, back-to-back, you know, champions of the world, which has only been done seven other times, with Pittsburgh doing it twice in the 70s. So technically eight teams have done it, but seven franchises have done it. So that's an elite era to be in. You got the whole thing with Tom Brady, right? Leaving the New England Patriots after 20 years, two decades with Bill Belichick. And in his first year, COVID year, doesn't get a complete offseason with his receivers and offense. You know, doesn't have a traditional training camp. Goes out and takes his team to the national championship against Patrick Mahomes, who I said on the other hand could be a two-time world champ. You got to love what you saw from the Chiefs offense last week. A lot of people were worried about Patrick Mahomes' toe and his mobility, but he showed no signs of that toe affecting him during the game. He was very mobile, was able to get out the pocket and complete passes down the field by time with his legs. And we all know the type of arm talent he has. So these two offenses, it's going to be a great showdown to watch, right? You have, you know, the GOAT, Michael Jordan is, and Tom Brady, six Super Bowl rings, going for number seven. And then you got, you know, some would say LeBron James, the guy that's coming for that mantle. You know, in 3 years, Patrick Mahomes has been to three AFC championship games and two Super Bowls. So it's like, it's almost like who's going to take the mantle, right? Like, Brady's always solidified as the GOAT. But Patrick Mahomes is starting his legacy where he could potentially almost catch Brady down the road. So those are the storylines that everybody's talking about, and I'm looking forward to it. The thing that concerns me about the Kansas City Chiefs is, you know, their offensive line is kind of banged up. And those two defensive ends from Tampa Bay, man, they're humming off the edge, Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul. They single-handedly put that team on their back last week in Green Bay. It caused headaches for Aaron Rodgers in that offense. So that is something to watch this week with Eric Fisher going down, you know, at left tackle. Will they be able to protect Mahomes, and will his toe be almost 100% now that it'll be 2 weeks, and will he be mobile enough to get out of the pocket and make plays like he did in the AFC Championship game?
Mm-hmm. He is a 10-year NFL defensive lineman, Lajay Douzable, back with us on SportsMap Radio Network. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Lajay Douzable. So let's back up just a moment. Let's evaluate Tom Brady in his first season with Tampa Bay. I mean, has he gotten better?
I mean, I don't know if you can say he's gotten better. It's Tom being Tom, right? This is what Tom routinely does during the playoffs. He takes his game to another level. In that first half, he was, you know, impeccable versus the Green Bay Packers. I feel like he didn't really miss any throws. He had some incomplete passes on the stat line, but those were really drop passes. Like, I feel like in that first half, that was the most we've seen I mean, surgically wise, of Tom Brady all year long. And it kind of reminded me of early 2000s Tom Brady. Like, he knew where he was going with the ball. He knew at the snap if there was man coverage where he was going, if it was zone where he was going with the ball. And he methodically moved his team up and down the field like Tom always has done. Now, in the second half, he kind of regressed. You know, we had the three interceptions, which kept Green Bay kind of in the game. And that's kind of what we've seen a little bit of him in certain games this year throughout the year. If you look at the New Orleans Saints game, we kind of saw that there. And but he, like the last seven games going down the stretch into the playoffs, he had been playing like he played in that first half versus Green Bay. So will they fix those, you know, errors that they had where he doesn't have the interceptions with an offensive line who's kind of been beat up and had moving parts around? Will they be able to communicate and know where to slide a protection when Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator from Kansas City, starts to blitz them and brings Tyrann Mathieu into the box? And that's something that Brady, I know, will be watching for, is where's Tyrann Mathieu lined up each and every play? Because where he starts is not where he's going to finish, at least. So this guy moves all over the field. He is their playmaker on defense, and he will be trying to get his hands on the ball in Sunday, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, to pick Brady off.
Hey, he's getting us fired up. We are visiting with Legay Douzeble, 10-year NFL defensive lineman, and I ask you, you know, about evaluating Tom Brady as a player. Hey, has he gotten better in his first season at Tampa Bay? But let me ask you this. I mean, was this season more impressive than anything Tom Brady has done in the past? I mean, he's had this illustrious career, but it is incredible to think how he adapted so quickly to a new head coach, a new system, and he has not missed a beat.
Yeah, listen, I would dare to say this is probably Tom Brady's best, you know, season overall, and that's saying a lot when a guy's played 20-plus years in the NFL, but he was playing for one franchise, right? So Tom Brady didn't really have to learn a new offense, you know, because he's been with that offense for most of his career. But for him to do what he did, right, getting integrated into Bruce Arians' system, which is more a throw the ball down the field system, with Tom Brady used to doing play action, getting the ball out of his hands quick so defenders can't rush him. For him, switch that up. But then Bruce Arians also knowing Tom Brady's strength, right? Tom Brady wants to get the ball out of his hands. He knows where to go with the ball, using some play action pass game. That's something Bruce Arians wasn't accustomed to, but he's leading towards quarterback strength, right? And he's already come out and said it, and Tom Brady is doing the coaching. You know, a lot of times I just shut up and let him, you know, do his thing, and it's worked throughout the playoffs. So I guarantee on Sunday that they'll go back to, you know, running the ball effectively, which they've really done with, you know, Jones and also Fournette coming down the stretch in the playoffs, using some of that play action pass to take those shots down the field. And when, you know, it's like Nola goes man coverage, Tom Brady will know. He'll know where to go with the ball. He seems to be really favoring that slot. Whoever's in that spot seems to be getting the ball from Tom Brady, so I look for that to continue. But also, that's something that Kansas City has been watching, too. But to answer your question, yes, Alyssa, I think this has to be one of the greatest seasons, if not the greatest season Tom Brady had, just because of all the circumstances. You had COVID, like I said earlier. Mm-hmm. You don't get a traditional offseason. Tom Brady likes to get his receivers before the offseason program starts and throw with him. He didn't get to do any of that. They also didn't get to have a traditional training camp. No training camp, you know, games against other teams to get ready for the season. So this is something that Tom Brady wasn't accustomed to. And to take this team, which had been much maligned for the better half of a decade, you know, besides that team with Sapp and Lynch and all them that won the Super Bowl, this is one of the most losing franchises in all of history. To take this team one year after going, I believe, 7-9 to the Super Bowl, that says a lot about Tom Brady.
Super Bowl 55 will be played at Raymond James Stadium, home of the Buccaneers in Tampa, Florida. And this will be the first ever Super Bowl where one of the participating teams is actually playing in its own stadium. That's huge. So what about home field advantage? Will that make a real difference for the Buccaneers next weekend?
Yeah, I mean, but it's just what we've been dealing with all season, right, Alyssa? Like, there has been no fans or partial fans in the stadium, so it won't be to capacity. You got to think. I think the NFL is giving away 7,500 tickets to, you know, first responders and healthcare workers that have had the vaccine. So we don't know what type of fans they be. Will they be homegrown fans, or will they be fans from all over the place? Also, Kansas City is going to have a nice contingency of fans. You know, they have a great fan base that likes to travel. So I think it's going to be 50-50, but I think the Bucs have the edge in the fact that everything will be comfortable for them, right? They'll be in their own stadium practice. They'll be in their own locker room. Like, they'll be able to probably most likely go home. A lot of times, you know, during the Super Bowl week, you're traveling to another city, so you're staying in a hotel. I wonder, will Bruce Arians, you know, let them still stay home and treat it as if it's a regular season game? That way guys are comfortable going into the game, because a lot of guys can get antsy the bigger the game. But since you're at home and you're in your environment, you're comfortable, you'll be able to work with your nutritionist. You'll be able to work with your massage therapist, your acupuncturist. You won't have to fight them out anywhere. They'll be right there where you need them. So I think Tampa Bay has a slight edge when it comes to that, just the comfortability. And anybody that knows NFL players or sports players or anybody that plays sports, we're creatures of habit. So to know that you're going to be able to be home and have your same routine that you have every week, week in and week out, I think that gives Tampa Bay a slight edge.
Hey, that's a great point. I want to digress for just a moment. Talk to us about, let's talk about the Packers. I mean, is Aaron Rodgers, is he going to be back at Green Bay?
So, listen, like you, when I first heard that interview of him saying he doesn't know, in my head, I'm like, well, you know, lately players have kind of forced their way out of teams, so I could see Aaron Rodgers, you know, potentially leaving. You saw Tom Brady, he didn't really force his way out. He just decided it was time for him to part ways with the New England franchise, and he leaves. You know, but Aaron Rodgers was still in the contract, but more and more players these days are kind of forcing their trade out. You saw Jamal Adams do it. You've seen Jalen Ramsey, you know, practically do it. And it seems like the power shift is going into the hands of the players, which I don't mind at all being a former player. I feel like, you know, players should have a say-so and, you know, where they go. And if the organization's not trying to win or isn't viewed as doing the right thing to win games, and you don't want to waste your years. You only play this game for a finite amount of years, and it's taxing on the body. So in my head, I'm like, well, maybe Aaron Rodgers is going to leave. Uh-huh. But after hearing him on the Pat McAfee show, I see there's no way that Aaron Rodgers can leave. I don't believe the pick that they had in Jordan Love will be ready next year. I feel like Green Bay has a win-now team, and you can see it on not only on the film but on the paper. They went to back-to-back NFC Championship games. They were one game away from going to the Super Bowl. I think they're missing one piece that they'll try to probably get, hopefully in this year's draft. Hopefully they don't draft another quarterback this year. But maybe they get a piece that can help, you know, Aaron Rodgers, or maybe get like a linebacker or something that can help that defense out a little bit more, even though that defense has played well in spurts and was a top 10 defense. I don't see Aaron Rodgers going away. I mean, I can't remember the last time an MVP, and he should win the MVP, end up leaving the next season. You know, when you ask questions right after the game, you're frustrated, and it's a big game, an NFC championship game. You know, sometimes you answer, you know, with your heart, and you're not really thinking everything clearly. And he came on the Pat McAfee show and said, you know, look here, like, this, anybody knows that this game, nothing is certain, right? Like, you could be traded. Nobody ever thought Tom Brady would leave New England. Look, he's in Tampa Bay. Like, Peyton Manning was cut. Like, whoever thought Peyton Manning would actually get cut? He got cut from the Colts. Like, you never know in this league what's going to happen. I think that's more or less what he was saying. I think he was more frustrated after the game and really was just, you know, letting off some steam. But I doubt Aaron Rodgers goes anywhere. It's like, a guy that has, you know, 40-plus touchdowns and only, I believe, 5 interceptions on the year, there's no way, you know, you trade him away unless he really, really wants to go and doesn't want to be there anymore.
Okay, only time for one more question, another follow-up about Aaron Rodgers. So he has a 1-4 record in NFC title games. How does this ultimately impact his legacy? I mean, there was a lot of talk about, hey, his legacy's tarnished because he wasn't able to close out at home at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, I think that's nonsense. I mean, if you look at Peyton Manning's record in the playoffs, it's not that good, you know, but he ends up getting 2 Super Bowls. And everybody doesn't have the Tom Brady resume. There's a lot of people in the Hall of Fame that don't even have Super Bowls. So, I mean, I don't think Aaron Rodgers, you know, legacy is tarnished. I do want him to get one more so all the naysayers could shut up, because I do believe he is the greatest physical talent we've ever seen at the quarterback position. I'm not calling him the GOAT, but I believe he's the greatest physical talent that we've ever seen as far as arm strength and putting the ball where it needs to be. Now, Patrick Mahomes might have say something to say in that in like 10 years, but as of right now, we've never seen anything like Aaron Rodgers. And to me, of course, he's first ballot Hall of Fame. The guy routinely throws for over 4,000 yards year in and year out. And I don't think his legacy is tarnished. I mean, it's hard enough to win in the NFL game, period. Like, just to win one game, Melissa, is hard. Like, to get into the playoffs is even harder. But to go to NFC Championship games, whether you win or lose, that's even harder. Like, there's only 2 teams that make it to the Super Bowl, and only one team at the end of the year is actually happy because there's only one Super Bowl winner. So I don't think his legacy is tarnished. Like I said, I don't believe Peyton Manning's record isn't that great in the playoffs either. And look, he's in the Hall of Fame with 2 Super Bowl rings. So, I mean, people just need to pump the brakes and, as he would say, relax.
Mm-hmm. Hey, 10-year NFL defensive lineman Legay Douzable has been with us. Give him a follow on Twitter at Legay Douzable. You stay safe, enjoy the Super Bowl, and we will reconvene and talk again real soon, okay?
Appreciate it, Alyssa.
You bet. Thank you, my friend. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
Mm-hmm. This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Before we get underway with our next interview, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, we have already had a ton of Super Bowl 55 talk. Right now, we're going to shift gears and let's hit on some NBA, a little give and go. We are just over a month into the season. And how about the Utah Jazz? They continue to roll. They've been on this winning streak and are at the top of the Western Conference. So here to help us break it all down is the great Mitch Lawrence from SiriusXM NBA Radio. First time in 2021. Happy New Year, Mitch.
Happy New Year, Alyssa. Hope this one is better than the last year we had. How are you doing?
Amen. Well, it's good to hear your voice. And we are in week six of this unprecedented NBA season. So there certainly have been some surprise storylines early on. And as I just mentioned, the Jazz, I mean, they've been on this hot streak. They're winning by double digits. I mean, what were your expectations of this team coming into the year?
Well, you have to remember, they came in, they blew a 3-1 lead to Denver in that first round and got sent out of the bubble. Very disappointing for Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Quinn Snyder, everybody. I expected they were going to have a kind of a similar season in terms of, yes, they're going to be a playoff team. Yes, they'll probably be a top four seed. I don't think they're going to win the West. I don't think they're going to be the number two teams. I think the L.A. teams, especially the Lakers, will still have a stranglehold at the top. And then, you know, in the playoffs, we're going to see how they do, how they fare this year. Obviously, a top defensive team. There's always questions about Donovan Mitchell. Can he raise his level, make other guys better in the heat of the playoffs? We've yet to see that. Maybe that happens this year. He's young. He's trying to get better. So, look, all things are pointing. It's a great situation if you're a Jazz fan, except the only thing you look at is, man, how are we going to deal with the teams in, you know, the Clippers, the Lakers? We've got Denver. Once again, the West is loaded, so we'll see what shakes out for the Jazz.
Okay, so when we look at these wins from the Jazz and this streak, I mean, what are some of the takeaways from watching them? I mean, I see team basketball, but what do you like the most?
Well, you know, it all starts for them really at the defensive end. Offensively, they've been lights out during the streak, averaging close to 120 points, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of like a Golden State type average from back in the day. But defensively, holding teams down into the, you know, low 100s is always a great sign. You know, anchored by Gobert, who will be a Defensive Player of the Year candidate again. And so just the way they play, and they play with a lot of confidence. Their guys accept their roles. They know their roles. They've been around. It's always great to have players who have been together year after year. That helps, obviously. Hopefully it'll help in the playoffs this year, that familiarity, because you need to have that. And then the thing you want to look for is how the big stars on that team step forward in the playoffs when that type of player is paramount. You have to have a player who can deal with a LeBron James, a Kawhi Leonard over in the East, players who can deal with, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's had some playoff struggles. But you need those type of players. And will that player be a Donovan Mitchell in the future?
Well, and in order to make a run in the playoffs, you have to have depth. And as we think back to the game on Wednesday night against the Mavs, I mean, they didn't have their leading scorer in Donovan Mitchell, and that didn't slow the Jazz down at all. So does this team now have depth and the numbers?
Well, that remains to be seen. I mean, you know, you can take certain things away in the regular season when you look at teams. When I think about depth, I'm looking at a Laker team which recast its bench, mm-hmm. did a tremendous job there, bringing guys like Harrell and Schroeder, Marc Gasol. Will the Jazz have the necessary depth to go far? That remains to be seen.
You're listening to the voice of Mitch Lawrence, SiriusXM NBA Radio. You can also dial him in on Mad Dog Radio. Glad you're with us this morning at Sports Map Radio Network. And talking about the Lakers in the Western Conference, who do you view as the biggest threat against them?
Well, that's still to be determined. I mean, we'd like to say the Clippers. I'm not favoring them when I say like. But with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, that's the type of team that last year we thought would give the Lakers a run. Of course, They fell way short. They were another team that blew a 3-1 series lead, did it against Denver, the same team that beat Utah, coming back from the dead. Kawhi Leonard, they have a new coach in Ty Lue. It looks like they've addressed some needs. I still wonder about their point guard play. To me, it's really the Lakers are on their own tier, and then maybe you have a team like the Clippers. Denver will be another team. It's the kind of the familiar cast that we saw last year in the bubble. I think outside the bubble, the same thing is going to pertain. And the big question is, can you deal with, you know, for any of these teams, can you deal in a seven-game series? Who can beat LeBron James and Anthony Davis, the best 1-2 punch in a seven-game series? And, you know, the amazing thing is, you know, LeBron's 36 years old. Now, we've seen players who have been great when they're 36. We've never seen a player in his 18th season still is the number one player in the league. That's never been done before. I got to watch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar cover him late in his career. Other great players like Stockton and Malone, who were in, you know, getting down in their careers into their 17th, 18th year, they were not even the number one option on their own teams. Here's a guy who's the number one option in the league in his 18th year. That's historic, but that's LeBron James.
How much is left in his tank?
Lots. It's a drive for five. He wants to get to Michael Jordan's 6 rings. He's at 4. He's playing this year like the MVP. He's playing like he needs that 5th ring. You know, we all think that the time and the clock is running out on LeBron. He's defying this every way imaginable. Right now, he's the leader, to me, in a runaway right now for MVP. You've got other guys like, Joel Embiid, and you've got Nikola Jokic and maybe Luka Doncic. Mavericks need to start winning, though. But in terms of LeBron, right now, he's at a different level. And, you know, when you put him with Anthony Davis, Anthony Davis is the number two, the best number two option you can have in the sport. So that's why I think that LeBron still has a lot going for him. And I think, like I said, it's a drive for five. He knows he in his mind, he wants to equal what Michael Jordan does. He's still 2 rings short. And when you look at it, you got to think, yeah, time is running out. How many more years can he play at this level?
You're listening to the familiar voice, Mitch Lawrence. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Mitch_Lawrence, Sirius XM, NBA Radio, Mad Dog Radio. Okay, so we hit on the Western Conference. Let's do a crossover, and let's talk about your Knicks. I mean, they've a lot of new additions, a new front office, a new head coach, yet they're losing. So what is kind of your assessment of where they're at this point?
Not surprised. Actually, I thought they've won a little bit more than I thought. Look, the best addition they made in the offseason was Tom Thibodeau. He brings in a coach who's proven he's going to be demanding accountability. He gives the franchise really a guy who knows what it takes to win based on what he did, obviously, in Chicago, what he did as an assistant in Boston with Doc Rivers when they won the title. And so for the Knicks to land a guy like Tom Thibodeau, that was a tremendous move. Brings him back to respectability. Tom knows what he's doing, and he's going to get the players to play his way. As Austin Rivers said early in the season, if you're not going to do it Tom's way, you're going to be on the bench. He doesn't have a lot of talent to work with. The Knicks are trying to develop talent. They're trying to kind of do what the Nets did a couple of years ago, Alyssa, where they don't have a lot going for them in terms of talent, but can they put together some wins, establish a culture here, show other players who are free agents that they're serious about winning and they know what it takes to win, and then go out and add free agents along the way? Of course, the Nets did that with, starting to show that they knew what it took to win, and then adding a Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, which was the greatest free agent haul that we've seen. But for the Knicks, this is a long, long process. Not a lot of talent that they have, but as long as Tom Thibodeau's there and he puts the demands on these players, they're going to play the right way. If you watch the Knicks, Alyssa, they actually have a semblance of they know what they're doing at both ends of the court, which we haven't seen for years.
Okay, so Tom Thibodeau is the right guy for this job. But just overall, I mean, step back and give us a timeline. I mean, how patient do Knicks fans have to continue to be throughout this process? I mean, another rebuild.
Well, it's not just Knicks fans. It's the Knicks owner, James Dolan, because eventually there are going to be situations where fans, after, you know, vaccinations, et cetera, are going to be back in the building, and he's going to want to have winning product on the court. He's going to want to have a superstar on that marquee so he gets the celebrities back in those front row seats. So you'll have to wonder, first of all, his patience. I think Knicks fans will be patient as long as they see progress, especially in the development of young players. They want to see development from R.J. Barrett. They want to see development from Kevin Knox. They want to see development from the two rookies, Toppin and Emmanuel Quickly. Now, in terms of the ownership, is it going to be a situation where all of a sudden James Dolan gets impatient and says, you know what, we got to fill up the garden again, fans are back, I want to go out and spend a lot of money? That's where you got to have to watch out, watch what's going to happen there. Do they divert from this plan, which is a long-term plan? We'll see. But Tom Thibodeau also, look, he's a guy, he wanted to get Gordon Hayward. He wants to do some winning right away. He'd like to do that. So it's always a fascinating game for Knicks fans to watch. I think Knicks fans will be patient as long as they see progress on the floor in terms of development of players and in terms of the big picture. Are we creating a situation where free agents want to come to play for the New York Knicks? They didn't even take, you know, when Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant were free agents a few summers ago, the Knicks couldn't even get those guys to take a phone call. They couldn't even get them to visit. They weren't even interested in the Knicks. That's how far down the Knicks are in terms of the NBA map for free agents. That's what Tom Thibodeau is here to change.
Okay, so speaking of development of players, where are the Knicks in terms of adapting to Tom Thibodeau's defensive philosophy? He's a defensive guru.
You know, they're actually trying.
Okay.
You know, defensively, the Knicks have been so bad for years that now when you watch them play, they're like, yeah, you know what? These guys are actually out there. They're playing hard. They're trying to play on defense. What you worry about is the other end. There's just not a lot of good, really good offensive players on this team. They've got guys like Julius Randle, okay, and they've got, you know, Elfrid Payton. Listen, they're basically backups. And so they'll get their effort and they'll get play on the defensive end, which we've seen already. Guys are trying, and that's a big improvement over what we've seen the last few years. But it's the offensive end where the Knicks are really going to be challenged because you need to score the ball in this league. You can play the greatest defense ever. But as you know, Alyssa, you got to be able to score, and the Knicks just don't have a lot of guys who can put the ball in the basket. So there are nights where the Knicks score, you know, 110, 115 points. You're like, wow, this is unbelievable because they're playing a system. They're sharing the ball. They're hitting the open man. They're trying to do what Tom emphasizes. But you know what? That can only carry you so far with the type of talent you have. And they just don't, they just lack the big time. I mean, it's amazing. You have the Knicks at one end of the spectrum, and across the East River, you have the Nets, who have three of the great scorers in the league, maybe two of the top scorers right now in the world, in Kevin Durant and James Harden. Those are polar opposites we're seeing here in New York.
Our NBA news and notes continues with SiriusXM NBA radio host Mitch Lawrence after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 1 SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's rejoin from SiriusXM NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence. Okay, so we're going to talk about the Nets here in just a moment, but who might be that player that can address the issues that they need on the offensive end? I mean, who's a player that you would love to see to come in, maybe a marquee name?
You mean to come into play in New York?
Yes.
Well, you know, they'd probably love to get a guy like Bradley Beal. If Bradley Beal is going to, you know, if he's getting tired of losing in Washington, he's the next guy up. You know, everybody thought James Harden was going to be traded. He got traded. Yeah. Now everybody thinks Bradley Beal at some point is going to run out of patience in Washington. Whenever he puts up 40 points, it's like the Wizards lose. He's going to get tired of it. Miami wants him, you hear. Golden State wants him. I'm sure the Knicks would like to get him. They probably just don't have the assets. So you're going to have to look down the line at free agents. You know, they probably would have loved to have had a shot at Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's not going to be a free agent. The free agent class for this coming summer has been really depleted because of all the signings we saw last summer. So for Knicks fans, they just might have to sit and wait. It could be a little bit of a wait for a player like that.
Okay, let's shift gears. Let's talk about the Nets. I mean, Kyrie is back. So what are your expectations now that this is the new big three? I mean, will they contend for a championship? I mean, they can light it up offensively.
Right, they can light it up offensively. It's still amazing to me when you watch them play. At the end of some of these games, you got James Harden, who's dribbling, and he launches a shot. And Kevin Durant, who for my money should be touching the ball every trip down the floor. Kevin Durant is standing over there watching James Harden kind of like doing nothing, and they're using him as a decoy. I think if I'm Steve Nash, I got to look at that and go, you know what? If I'm ending this game, games down the stretch, the guts of the game, as they used to call it, Alyssa, you got to get the ball to Kevin Durant. He's been unstoppable for the Nets basically in these games. He's played 15-odd games since he's come this year. Off the Achilles, he looks like he's never lost a step. He's definitely one of the top players again in the game, offensively especially, and helps a lot defensively. So, you know, the Nets are kind of a work in progress. They got to figure out how it's all going to work at the offensive end with these players. Now, you also have to remember, James Harden still rounding his way into shape after, you know, what happened in Houston.
Oh, yeah.
So he has to adjust. Steve Nash wants him to be more aggressive. And then the thing about Kyrie Irving is, Kyrie Irving's calling out fans on Instagram saying, are you with us? you know, basically questioning Net fans' loyalty. Well, for Kyrie, we should be questioning his loyalty. Here's a guy who basically took 2 weeks off, took 2 weeks out of the season, and now he's back asking that question. And the thing about Kyrie is reliability. We don't know if there's going to be something that sets him off the rails again where he's going to miss more time or if he becomes injured, because he just does not have a great track record, Alyssa, for staying healthy. So Steve Nash, in a perfect world, he's got three guys who are going to light it up for him. There are going to be problems, though, within those three. We'll see about Kyrie. And then depth-wise, they have depth issues for sure. And defensively, that's an awful defensive team. So we'll see what happens at that end. You got to be able to, you know, if you have designs on being a championship contender, you have to guard at a championship level. And the Nets are a long, long way from doing that. And that's what could come back to bite them. So they need a center. They need somebody who can block some shots. The answer is not DeAndre Jordan. They've been mentioned in trade rumors for JaVale McGee. He'd be perfect for him. He's now wasting away in Cleveland. So we'll see what happens in there. So the Nets are not a finished product. They have a lot, long way to go. And we'll see how good they are offensively, though. They're going to put up a lot of fireworks.
Okay, good stuff. We'll just have to wait and see. Check them out, SiriusXM, NBA Radio, Mad Dog Radio, and give them a follow on Twitter, @Mitch_Lawrence. He is simply the best. Thank you so much, Mitch. Have a great weekend.
Alyssa, enjoyed it. Talk to you later.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back.